Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe, Ian Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And we have a busy show for you this morning. Hugh Johnson with WOOC is going to explain about the extreme rain we had last week and the extreme heat we're going to have this week. Plus, Randall Martin talks local tea, and Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees preview what movies are in local theaters. And we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service, local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
This is Frank Sesich of Blue Ash, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Acre.
Wave Farms Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Acre, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Acre broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farms International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farms Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tyler Burton of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, July 26th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that Caro Supervisor Jason Watts wants to give all town employees a raise, even though Caro is mired in financial difficulties after Watts' administration made major errors with property taxes. The town also needs street light bulbs and to repair its broken electronic sign. For at least 2 years, the town told taxpayers they were getting a low property tax rate when they were actually getting a higher tax rate. Now, funds the town would be spending on light bulbs are being held in escrow to resolve the tax issue. And at the same time, Caro is losing employees to other opportunities. Town Board member Tim Powers said, quote, "In Jason's administration, over 30 people have quit. We've lost our entire ethics board," unquote. Watts wants to pay everyone more money and said, quote, "Every position in the town of Caro is important. It's a team of people. Not one person is more important than the next," unquote. But he also said, quote, "Why should a court clerk make more than a paramedic police officer or highway employee," unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that the seemingly never-ending congressional redistricting process continues, with Republicans filing an appeal of the latest court ruling on the issue on July 25th. Earlier this month, the New York Appellate Court ruled that the boundaries for New York's U.S. House district should be redrawn again, this time by the Independent Redistricting Commission. Now the State Court of Appeals will rule on the issue and might just decide on who is in control of the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. In the 2022 election, Republicans flipped several districts in New York that helped give them a very slight majority in the House. Then the district lines were drawn in a way that many analysts said favored Republicans. The Court of Appeals rules for Democrats they might get friendly lines in 2024 to help them win. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. William J. Kemble reports in the Daily Freeman that the New York Department of Transportation officials still don't think Route 9W in the town of Ulster needs a lower speed limit. State Assistant Engineer Mark Morano wrote to the town that, quote, our study included a formal review and evaluation of the crash history for the last 3 years. The crash analysis indicated that they are random in nature and can generally be attributed to driver error or misjudgment. Additionally, there is no evidence that any of these crashes are associated with motorists that are complying with the existing speed limits within this section of US 9W, unquote. Town board members want the speed limit reduced along the 2.7-mile stretch of Route 9W from the Quick Check to the municipal line with Saugerties. Town officials say that between January 1, 2021 and March 17, 2022, there were 42 accidents, including one death along the section of Route 9W. 6 years ago, the state DOT refused a similar request to lower the speed limit on the road. Supervisor James Quigley said, quote, we are going to continue to ask as long as constituents come forward and make an issue of it in the town board meetings, unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a high near 88 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 68 degrees. And on Thursday, a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 89 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 69 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
This is deprogramming from the Universal Media Network.
Down. He was on. always cheating and he always told a lie. He was always cheating and he always told a lie. Damn, damn, damn. Dick Baldwin, solid damn. But damn.
With Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
We're going to tell you about what's playing in the theaters around these parts. I will start with the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. And you can find out more about showtimes at WyndhamTheater.com. That's W-I-N-D-H-A-M theater.com.
The big heavy hitters. All right. And now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Cinemas, starting with the one in Rhinebeck, also known as the Star Cinema. We have Theater Camp, Oppenheimer, Pissarro, Father of Impressionism, Past Lives, The Miracle Club, Asteroid City, and Spirited Away. And then heading on over to the other Upstate location in Saugerties, we have Talk to Me, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Past Lives, The Miracle Club, Asteroid City, and also Spirited Away. And you can find those specific showtimes at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. I'm really excited for Talk to Me.
Yeah, me too. I know. I hear it's scary, and I want to see it.
It looks so scary.
Yes.
Excuse me. All right, I'm going to tell you about what's going on at the Greenville Drive-In, otherwise known as Drive-In 32. We have, on July 26th, a family night. They're playing Enchanted. And then on July 28th, this coming Friday, you're going to sing some karaoke on the big screen with me.
Yay!
It's a Taylor Swift-themed night because she... I can't remember if she shot a music video there or somebody made a lyric video using the drive-in, and they came on the property without permission, and it's had like 18 million views.
Whoa.
So it's like kind of a jab, I guess, at Taylor Swift.
to sing her songs without her permission.
Even though she doesn't care. But yeah.
Wow. Okay, fun. I did not know that it had a theme. That's very exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So it's Taylor Swift themed. You can come and sing whatever you want, but it'll probably stay on theme for a little while.
Wow.
I know a couple songs.
Yeah, I could do a couple for sure. Yeah,
it'll be fun.
She's got a lot of hits.
That is a lot of fun. So how often do you get to sing karaoke on the big screen? Sorry for a plug for my job. On July 29th, we have High Fidelity. And let's see. And on August 2nd, they're doing another family night and they're playing Toy Story.
Cute.
So you can find out more about what's going on there at the Greenville Drive-In at drivein32.com.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you what's playing at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. We have Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and we have Barbie. And that's all they got for right now, because those are movies that people are really trying to see right now.
They're being smart.
They're being very smart. So you can head on over, if you want to know the specific showtimes, to crandalltheater.org.
Amazing. All right. At the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, we have, I think there's going to be a lineup shift come Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, so for right now, so keep your eyes on it if you're going this coming weekend. But for right now, they have on screen 1, Barbie and Clueless. On screen 2, they have Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 and Insidious The Red Door. On screen 3, we have Oppenheimer and Dr. Strangelove. And on screen 4, we have Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny and Asteroid City. And that is at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie. You can find out more at highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAY drivein.com.
Amazing. And now I'm going to tell you what's playing at TSL, our little indie theater right here in Hudson. So we have a movie called Shepherd and Dark with a Q&A with the director. The Met Opera, which is Verdi's Il Trovatore. For sure, that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely.
And then a silent movie, The Golem, How He Came Into the World, with live music accompaniment. And there's also the Met Opera of Rossini's The Barber of Seville and Tchaikovsky's Eugene Onegin. And you can find out those specific showtimes at timeandspace.org. And also probably more information about all of those things, because I don't know what any of them are.
I know. I love the idea of going to the opera.
Yeah.
It'd be so cool.
It would be actually extremely cool.
It's like kind of a hot move.
Yeah. To be like, hey, babe, want to go to the opera tonight?
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's like, it's going to be like 4 hours. Are you ready?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, get all dressed up.
Yeah,
so fun.
So cute.
All right. Last but not least, Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson. That is the 8 Screen Theater on Fairview Avenue in Hudson. We have Barbie, Insidious, The Red Door, Oppenheimer, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Sound of Freedom, Elemental, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. That is at Spotlight Cinemas. You can find out more at spotlightcinemas.com.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
At a time when there are those who seek to ban books, bury history, we're making it clear, crystal, crystal clear.
On Tuesday, President Joe Biden announced the establishment of a national monument to honor Emmett Till, a black teenager who was beaten and killed in Mississippi in 1955 after a Caucasian woman accused him of whistling at her. Vice President Kamala Harris said, "We must remember and teach our full history, even when it's painful."
Today, there are those in our nation who would prefer to erase or even rewrite the ugly parts of our past.
The White House is proposing a rule which would require people have equivalent access between their mental health and medical benefits. Biden called it a real step forward to help Americans get mental health care they need and insurance should provide. Some House Republicans say they don't fear a government shutdown as Congress takes up new appropriations bills. Republican Virginia Representative Bob Good said the House should leverage a shutdown as a way to pass their priorities.
That stare down the Democrats, that stare down the free spenders, that stare down the president and said, no, we're going to do what the American people elected us to do. And the House is going to say no.
Georgia Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene doubled down on her call for President Biden to be impeached and for former President Donald Trump's 2 impeachments to be expunged.
President Trump was wrongfully impeached twice. And both of these impeachments must be expunged by the House of Representatives.
A Democratic-backed resolution seeks to censure Representative Greene over her controversial comments and behaviors. Democratic Representative Becca Belint of Vermont said censuring Greene is about protecting the health of our democracy and faith in government. As Republican support for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is declining, the presidential candidate laid off more than a third of his campaign staff this week. According to Real Clear Politics' latest poll, DeSantis is below the 20% mark. Finally, the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Technology and the Law held a hearing to examine ways to regulate and innovate artificial intelligence. Co-founder and CEO of Anthropic, an AI developer, Dario Amodei, said it is critical to assess the risks.
Short-term risks that we face right now, such as bias, privacy, misinformation. Medium-term risks related to misuse of AI systems as they become better at science and engineering tasks, and long-term risks related to whether models might threaten humanity.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our HRS indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Wisconsin's election code states that the legislature sees voting in person a right while voting by absentee as a privilege. Some Wisconsin voters disagree and are taking that concept and other absentee restrictions to court. A Wisconsin voter, the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Americans, and Priorities USA argue that Wisconsin has recognized the right to vote by absentee since the Civil War, and restrictions passed in recent legislatures violate that right. Their suit in Dane County Circuit Court says that a 2022 Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling that drop boxes are unconstitutional also violates those rights. They are contesting another provision that limits the time a voter has to cure an absentee ballot with a problem, such as a missing signature or date, potentially disenfranchising them. Often, a problem is discovered too late for the voter to fix it by the 8 p.m. Election Day deadline. Wisconsin also requires that absentee ballots be witnessed, but the complaint notes that 600,000 voters in Wisconsin do not have a person in their household to be a qualified witness, and that very requirement of a witness violates the voter's right to a secret ballot. Expect more challenges to Wisconsin's voter suppression laws and gerrymandering in the coming months, as Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Prosewitz is seated on August 1st and shifts the court's balance. We have a link to the suit and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
With your host, Randall Martin, we are going to talk about tea, all things tea. And I have with me, I have the distinct pleasure and honor of having Mike Harney of Harney Teas with me to discuss tea and more. Mike, how are you?
Randall, I'm doing great. It was good to see you again after a few years yesterday. So, everything's going fine. You know, we've 40 years ago, my pop started the business, and we're celebrating that as well as keep growing and keep buying good teas and having them ready for people.
It was absolutely great to see you. And, you know, for people who don't know about Harney Tea, which is fabulous, it's great tea. And you guys have a presence in the region. You're in Middletown, but you also have a place here in Hudson. Tell our audience, people that they're unfamiliar with the brand of tea, a little bit about yourself and the business and how you guys came to be.
Sure. Well, we have a place, first off, on 2nd Street Extension at the very end there in Hudson. So we have a factory over there where we do our bottled teas. So 40 years ago, my dad was running the White Hart Inn. I don't know if you've ever been to that over there in Salisbury. But the guy that owned it said he was 65 and had to retire. I'm 67, so I don't know, maybe. So they had to sell the place. And my father, at age 50-something, 53 or so, had to come up with a job, as did my mother, too. So That's when he started Harney & Sons Teas. And he started, you know, working with hotel markets originally. He knew somebody up in Boston who had a chain of hotels happening. And so things went there, and, it started growing well. I joined him 35 years ago, and my brother Paul about 30 years ago.
And so when you talk about teas, it's a plant. Like, let's go back, like, historically. Tea as a beverage, how did it become sort of popular? And, I know that inside the tea ball are all these herbs and, you know, little, looks like grass clippings to me, the uninformed eye. What makes a good tea?
Well, I mean, tea comes from a tea plant, although a lot of times people have herbs, chamomile or peppermint.
Uh-huh.
Or something, some blend. Sometimes it's something that grandma made or something like that. So, the tea plant, though, it started in China, up in the mountains of Yunnan, and then went over eventually to the coast, and then over to Japan, and then they started bringing it to various countries, so England and stuff like that. So it's got a long history. You know, they say it started several thousand years ago. No one can count how high, but they've been doing it for growing it for a while in Asia, and
as you mentioned, there's a lot of things inside one leaf. They say there's 700 chemicals inside one tea leaf
on it, and so we try to find teas that are going to make you smile, Randall. So things that have a little bit of natural sugar in it. You know, it's not a Coca-Cola, but it still has a little something that makes your smile go up. And so that's one of the things that we try to do is to choose teas that have a sort of a natural sweetness to them. And We then make, you know, we can make even leave it alone or make blends. So we have sometimes we have blends. Our most popular blend is hot cinnamon spice. I don't know if you've ever had that one or not, but it, as my father says, it tastes sort of like a red hot candy. Said he doesn't say it anymore because he left us 9 years ago. But so those are some of the things. Yeah, our number two seller is something called Paris. I think you met my wife. You sat next to her last night.
Brigitte. Yep.
And so she may have figured out that she's French. So
I did.
We came up with a blend that was is called Paris, and that's our number two seller.
Nice.
So,
but how do you do that? Like, how do you guys come up with the blend? Like, you do you have a flavor profile in mind and then say, we're going to find the ingredients to do this? Or, like, what is kind of the thinking in producing a tea in a specific – to give a specific effect?
Well, you know, like those first – the hot cinnamon and Paris were actually gifts. Someone else gave us a little bit the recipes, so we do appreciate them. But you were just making a blend up. There's going to be this new Agatha Christie movie coming out this fall called Haunting in Venice. And so they've asked us to do a tea. So yesterday I was coming up with a blend. My son gave me my other son, not Alex, but the other son, Emmerich, gave me some parameters of like a dessert one might find in Venice. So we were mixing that up, and I'm going to taste it later today. So, you know, there's depends like that one there. My original thought was to sort of have a pumpkin thing because it's haunting and it's in October. But my son said that's stupid. I had to defer to the next generation. I know that you do that all the time. I have to defer to the next generation.
I try. But now your children are involved in the business. I have a harder time getting my kids interested in participating.
That's what I heard. That's why I brought it up, man.
It is. But they're actively involved in helping shape the tea. And is it a great? It's got to be a great feeling, like when you sort of have a concept and you work as a family and you work through the process, and then at the end of the day, you make this wonderful tea that, you know, that becomes popular.
Yes, yes, we hope this one will be popular. The other two Agatha Christie ones, because this is the third one that they've done recently. The other two have done very well, and there's, as you may know, there's a lot of people that love Agatha Christie.
Yes,
she's the original, you know, British. Mystery woman. And, you know, we deal with the trust. So we're not even dealing, we're dealing with their family actually. So
that's very, very
trust
very
of
prestigious of a thing. Now your shop, your physical shop over there is a wonderful place. You have a place where you not only can buy the tea, but there's a sitting room. There's, you know, the grounds are nice. It's a great place to go and visit and check out all things tea. How is it like in working, you know, out of, and you're in Middletown, Millerton. Thank you. Millerton, and which is the crossroads of so many different states there. Yeah, I think you got three states touching right there in that area.
Yeah, I know. We got, I live in Connecticut. It's only 5 minutes away, but I'm in Connecticut, and then Massachusetts is just, well, we were in Massachusetts last night, weren't
yep.
we? So, and that's not too far away from here. You know, there's it's Millerton is good. My wife Brigitte, she runs the shop, and then Alex, who you know, he does he supervises the food. He has to take a lot of pictures for the new catalog, so he's on that. It's a lovely spot. They were very busy last weekend, and there's a lot going on in Millerton. My brother Paul, I don't know if you ever met him or not. He's my partner, but he has a separate deal. He does the Oakhurst Diner in town.
Okay, I was going to ask you guys yesterday about the diner because I love that diner. I stopped in there, and that is one of the attractions of Millerton.
It is. It is a nice spot. Yep. So lunch, you can either have at our spot or you can have it at Paul's spot. Well, money's accepted at both of them. So, yes.
Nice. Now, but not only are you local, Millerton, and you have a factory here in town in Hudson, but you guys have a worldwide reach.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I like to say that we're consumed on all seven continents, you know, the seventh being Antarctica. And there's a NASA space station down there. And so there's a couple of guys that buy our tea and bring it down there.
That's quite a compliment. It is
yeah,
great.
So yeah, Asia, Africa, you went north, South America, Europe, of course, is pretty big for us. So, and then Asia, you know, our largest place almost is China. So we buy tea from China and we ship it back to China.
Bite with a cast iron mask of the Antichrist, with a 5 o'clock shadow, Tony Dick is sick with prickly paranoia. He's a president, he's a great imposter, he's 1,000 years old, but he looks pretty good for a prehistoric telepathic fossil. He's a wicked man with an evil plan, and he's stopping nothing just to get his way. Dermis, she stands resplendent in a plain cloth coat as a mummified remains are wheeled around. Paul's cannibal pals, they cook the best, but his barbecues ever make the news. Not the White House backyard baby roast fiestas. And shy is best, and his apron says on scarlet letters, hail to the chef.
I'll stand tall like Old Glory faithful to the Republic. Security will prevail, as sure as I am the president. President Jimmy Carter. Can a government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government be decent and open as the 39th president? He has spoken, yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter, our 39th president. Jimmy Carter, our 39th president. Jimmy Carter.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And now joining us once again is retired National Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson for our weekly discussion of weather and climate. Welcome back, Hugh.
Hello there. How you doing?
Hello, Hugh.
Doing fine. This is Bria. We finally had a nice weekend this month, but most of the area got yet another round of rain this afternoon. How much rain have we had this July?
Well, it's funny. I was in watching a movie when the rain hit, and I looked at the radar. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, all this red was over us, and I could even hear thunder in the movie theater. And I came out. It was pouring. But the airport picked up another 4,700 inches of rain, which now makes us have our wettest July on record already with a week to go. We've cracked double digits, 10.06. And not only that, Bria, but it's our sixth wettest month ever. And we have a shot at really moving up the spaces here. We can get another 0.4 of an inch. We'll get wetter than we were in August 11 when we had Irene. And then in the month we had Floyd, 11.06 back in 1999, September 99. We have a legitimate shot at that. And that would bring us to number two, the all-time wettest records, which, by the way, go back to 1826.
And we've got a heat wave going on in Phoenix and Florida. Is this the worst we have ever seen?
Yeah, definitely for Phoenix. Phoenix is unbelievable. They've hit 110 or higher every day this month, starting on June 30th. And I think today they were at least 113, but they've been up near 120. And they've had like over 7 days in a row without hitting below 90. And their average temperature is 102.7, I think. And they've never had a mean temperature over 100 ever before. So they're just blowing out of the water. Over in Miami, it's the humidity combined with the heat, and they've had temperatures in the mid-upper 90s. They've broken a bunch of records, and their apparent temperature is at 105 over 20 days, 70 hours worth. Again, these are done. If you look back in the past years, this blows the competition away. So this is climate change, folks. This is really it in a nutshell. This is what we're seeing. It's deadly heat. It's really been bad in these places, and there's really no big relief for either one of those places, at least in the next several days.
Given what you just said about Phoenix and Miami, our threat of a heat wave this week doesn't seem quite as bad, but tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we haven't had an official heat wave this year yet. We haven't been able to lap three days together of 90 or higher, but we have a pretty good shot of it Wednesday, Friday. A little piece. What's happened is the blocking ridge that's been to our northeast is finally weakening, and that's allowing the trough to kind of flatten out. So we're going to get a little break from that troughiness, and that's going to allow a little piece of the ridge to build into us, and that's what's going to give us the heat for several days. And we're going to have it with humidity, too. So it could get kind of nasty around here. Our apparent temperature could reach near 100 degrees. That's a combined heat and humidity. We'll probably reach the low to mid-90s on Thursday and maybe Friday as well. So, yeah, it looks like a bona fide heat wave, pretty good shot in this area. So, again, apply the rules of common sense. Don't exercise during the afternoon. Drink lots of water. Stay away from alcohol and caffeinated beverages if you can. And, just use common sense. You start feeling sick or overheated, just get out of the sun, get out of the heat if you can.
And, Hugh, since you are talking about the dangers that we can experience with these heat issues, can you remind us the difference between a heat stroke and heat exhaustion? We've got a lot of outdoor workers up here in Saratoga at our track.
Very, very good question. Very good question. And it's actually three levels. There's heat exhaustion, heat illness, and heat stroke. Heat exhaustion is when you just feel tired, maybe lightheaded. You basically, if you get water and get out of the sun, you'll probably be fine. Heat illness is when you start feeling nauseated and you may even throw up and you're very clammy to the skin. And this is definitely another level. They're not quite at the critical level, but you really need to ease and get out of the heat and slip water slowly. Heat stroke is the one that you really have to, that's the one that can be totally fatal. That's when your body temperature, it's like an overheated engine. At that point, you don't sweat anymore. You're more flush. Your pulse is pounding and your temperature goes over 102 degrees and go much higher than that. So you are in absolute danger. If you get to that point, you got to call 911 and get an ambulance. There's no waiting around at that point. But usually you will start feeling sick, and if you push yourself to the next level, you can have a heat stroke. So you really, really have to pay attention to your body and and you start feeling anything weird, it's time to back off the heat. I did that once on a bike ride a few years ago. I knew if I went any further, I'd be in trouble. So you just got to know to look for those signs.
Now, you said something I hadn't heard about sipping water. It's better to sip it than to guzzle a lot?
Yeah, I wouldn't guzzle it because I think it could throw up. I just think it's, especially if you feel a little nauseous, I would say take it easy, very slowly. Don't want to guzzle it. No, absolutely not.
And does what we eat affect anything? Is it better to have light meals when it's this hot?
Yes, a good point, Bria. We light meals, actually high protein is, I mean, you hear about the high protein diets, they overtax your body during heat. So, big meat dinner might not be good. Definitely lighter meals, more salads, things like that. Fruits have things with water in them, like fruit, would be good to eat. So, yeah, definitely want to consider that. I know my appetite, which is usually pretty darn high, it goes down in the heat. Again, it's, your body's just telling you it doesn't need as much food. And, it takes energy and heat to burn the food in your body, especially proteins.
I'm getting the signal that we are approaching that out-of-time mark. As always, Hugh, thank you so much for another very informative and educational conversation, and we look forward to speaking with you next week.
All right, Alicia.
Thanks, you too.
Take care. Bye-bye, Bria. Bye-bye.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Several local recent stories show local officials coming up with all sorts of excuses and reasons to try to block migrants from being housed. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that officials in the towns of Colony now say there are code violations at the Shore Stay Plus Hotel on Wolf Road after buses from New York City dropped off migrants there in May. Back then, Colony officials did not have a problem with the hotel. Now, two code violations were served to Amandeep Dillon, whose family owns the Shore Stay Plus Hotel. The code violations are for guests staying in a hotel more than 28 consecutive days and for refusing to allow Deputy Police Chief Robert H. Wynn to review the guest registry on June 30th. Both rules are town ordinances passed 7 years ago. Wynn said, and I quote, "The perception has been that the enforcement is against the migrants. It's not. The enforcement is against the hotel ownership," end quote. The second law seems to violate a 2015 U.S. Supreme Court decision against the city of Los Angeles in a case that challenged a local law that made it a misdemeanor for a hotel operator to decline to allow police to review their guest registries. Colony passed a town ordinance 4 months before the Supreme Court ruling. Other counties, though, have filed their own lawsuits or issued executive orders to try to block New York City from relocating migrants to their communities. Last week, Republican Mark Molinaro and Elise Stefanik and Democrat Pat Ryan voted for a bill that would prohibit schools from being used as shelters for migrants, while Democrat Paul Tonko voted against. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Amanda Salazar reports for City and State that New York's Republican primary for president is not until April 30th, 2024, but two Republican congressional representatives in the state have already endorsed their picks. Long Island's George Santos, accused of all sorts of lies, and the North Country's Elise Stefanik have both endorsed former President Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential election. The publication surveyed the rest of the Republican New York congressional delegation, including Mark Molinaro, but they declined to endorse anyone this early in the process. Trump, already indicted in two cases and expecting a third imminent indictment, could be on trial or in jail by the time the primary date approaches. Republican strategist William O'Reilly said, and I quote, "There's no benefit whatsoever to endorsing Donald Trump early. and I would expect most Republican members from New York to keep their powder dry as long as humanly possible. Trump is without doubt the prohibitive favorite in the primary as of today, but there is an awful lot of time between now and then. I'd expect most endorsements to come just days or weeks before the New York presidential primary next year. End quote. Read more about this story in City and State. Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that the Greene County Youth Fair opens July 27th in the Cairo Town Park. By the time it closes July 30th, there will be all sorts of activities, programs, exhibits, performances, and competitions this year with the theme of Enhanced Forest. New this year are the KV show for a family of rodents that include guinea pigs and a llama alpaca show. Organizers claim it is the last county fair in New York with free admission. Go to thegreencountyyouthfair.com for more information about the Greene County Youth Fair. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a high near 88 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 68 degrees. And on Thursday, a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 89 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 69 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.